I guess it's stating the obvious that each one of us here this evening are part of the 7 billion humans existing in this world, living life, Christmas 2012. Maybe there is a celebrity amongst us this evening. But I guess that actually this room is full of ordinary people, ordinary lives. Just like Dragana Prezeric, who's 45. Or Terry Simmons, who's 72. Or Alexia Marcangelo, who's 13. All these people, different ages, stages, just like us, living on planet Earth. And living means doing. If we're at school or uni, we're studying, learning. But in this room, there are also hard-working mums, businessmen and women, people working in the health sector, cooks, cleaners, teachers, volunteers. We all engage in activities, keep schedules as we live. As Annie Dillard succinctly puts it, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. And on that first Christmas, just over 2,000 years ago, in Israel, near a small town called Bethlehem, it was no different. This time it was a group of shepherds. That's just what we've read from Luke's account of the life of Jesus. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks by night. Being a shepherd was a pretty ordinary job. There were lots of sheep. Shepherding was a pretty common occupation. Ordinary people, ordinary lives, ordinary jobs. These people, just like us, lived. But then something frankly terrifying happened, and we read of them seeing, hearing, believing. Our reading continued, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I wonder what your reaction to that is. It's an amazing scene. An angel of the Lord. What a thing to see. Of course, we see things all the time. Here are a couple of pictures that were shortlisted for a National Trust photography competition a few years back. This is a picture of a dog walker, photographed just seconds before disappearing into thick fog. Here's a photo of a firework display at the Belton House Spitfire prom. But we don't just see visually. We also see historically. The way that we see what has taken place in the past is that eyewitnesses write down the events that they saw for us. So, for example, we all see that William the Conqueror landed at Pevensey Bay on the 28th of August, 1066. That he defeated Harold, King of England, at the Battle of Hastings. And on the 25th of December, 1066, was crowned King of England by Aldred, Archbishop of York, at Westminster Abbey. We see and remember that famous, well-documented Christmas Day event, the coronation of William the Conqueror. Just like we see this Christmas time, the most famous event of the birth of Jesus Christ. And we look in on the shepherds seeing the angel. Now, by nature, we tend to have a problem with this, because we aren't now being confronted with the physical or the historical even, but the spiritual. I guess we humans like to live in the three-dimensional world. But do we really believe that this world is all there is? The countless surveys suggest that most of us do believe in some kind of spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is what we are seeing here. And we shouldn't immediately dismiss it. This angel, the glory of the Lord shining, shouts out loud and clear that there is more to life than the here and now. The eating and drinking, the accumulating and acquiring. The glory of the Lord speaks of a God who is there, who is making himself known, who is all-powerful, reigning over time and eternity. And we know, as we read these words, that this has massive implications for life and death and, yes, eternity. Which is why, by nature, we want to immediately dismiss and ignore this historical incident from 2,000 years ago. And you know what? We are willing to do that without giving it any proper investigation and weighing the evidence and listening to God on his terms. But you know, the miracle of Christmas is that even though that's what we're like by nature, God in his love sent ultimately not an angel, but his own son, Jesus Christ, so that we might know God and move out of darkness into light. That's why Jesus came into the world, so that we might know God and, knowing God, find lasting joy. Joy that is infinitely greater and deeper than anything we could begin to imagine. Listen to how the angel puts it. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Of course, there's lots of things that we can be joyful about in life. Success in a career, the birth of a child, a hobby or sport, Lewis winning Strictly, United beating City. And there is certainly a lot of joy at Christmas, joy especially through the presents we receive. In the drama, David certainly concentrated entirely on the presents he wanted. The Sunday Times asked those individuals that I showed you at the beginning what they wanted for Christmas. So Joanna Preserick, the 45-year-old fashion designer, she wouldn't mind a Harley Davidson. But if that's impractical, maybe a Vespa. And of course, her favourite perfume. Terry Simmons there confessed to having almost everything he needs, but then asked for a Panasonic Blu-ray recorder, an instant camera printer, Valentino jeans, a Coram watch, a home redesign, and dinner at Claridge's. And then there was Alexia Marcangelo, 13 years old. She wanted a skiing holiday, a Chihuahua puppy, an acting and singing career, a telescope, and most of all, everyone I love to be happy and enjoy their life. Maybe a few of those items were on your Christmas list. But do we really think that stuff will bring us lasting joy? As if an iPod or a turkey could ever give us a happy heart, or a clear conscience, or hope beyond death, or a right relationship with God. That's why Alexia's last request was intriguing. She wants joy, just like the angel announces to the shepherds. And the amazing news of Christmas is that this joy, this lasting joy, comes to us in a person, a Saviour, Christ the Lord. Listen to what the angel says. "Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." God had promised hundreds of years earlier to Israel's most famous king, someone called David, that he would send someone in his family line who would be God's own king. That's what the word Christ means. Who would have all the authority and power of God himself, and who would establish God's reign on earth. That's why the angel gives Jesus these titles, Christ and Lord. And the angel is clearly announcing to these shepherds and us that this Jesus, born in the town of David, is God's son, the king, who has arrived to establish his reign. But he is more than just a king. Do you see in those words? He is also a Saviour. You see, though we should welcome the arrival of the angel, though we should rejoice in the glory of the Lord and listen to what God tells us. None of us do that. We all live as rebels in God's world. Sinners is how God describes us. People who willingly and purposely ignore God, disobeying Him, and prefer the spiritual darkness that that brings. But Jesus comes to offer us salvation from that. Jesus, the light of the world, came that first Christmas not to destroy every rebel, but to make it possible for us to change sides. How did the angel put it? This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is the joy of Christmas. God's Son, Jesus Christ, the one who made the universe and sustains it, was born as one of us. In one very real sense, an ordinary person, an ordinary life. He experienced the joys and hardships of life with one difference. He was without sin. He never ever failed to obey his Father in everything. And the reason that he came was to bring peace. This Savior was the Prince of Peace. And those aren't my words. And they're not the words of just an angel this time, but the words of a whole choir of angels, the heavenly host. Luke continues, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I guess peace with each other, peace in our lives, in our hearts, is something that we'd all acknowledge as something that we'd like, as a good thing. Think of our war-torn age with so many worldwide conflicts. Think of the years of conflict that Afghanistan has experienced. Yes, we acknowledge the need for peace. And peace on the global scale also resonates with peace on the personal level. Christmas time amongst families can often be the most stressful, argumentative times of the year. And all of this, our interpersonal relationships, the conflicts of the nations, arise out of our rebellion against God. You see, the greatest peace we need to look for this Christmas time is peace with God, the one who made us. And that is why Jesus came. But don't underestimate the price of that peace. That phrase, the price of peace, is one that we hear a lot of. A lot of books are written about it. The price of peace in Africa. History is littered with commentary about the price of peace in Vietnam or Northern Ireland between Israelis and Palestinians. But what of the price of peace between God and humanity? God tells us in the Bible that he takes our rebellion, our sin against him, very seriously. Our rejection of the God of the universe, our flagrant, willful, persistent disobedience of the one who made us comes at a great price. God responds in right and good judgment on our rebellion. And that judgment results in death and our separation from God forever. Jesus describes in his ministry here on earth that separation as hell. And he used strong language to frequently talk about it. No, the judgment of God is real. But this same God loves us, loves you so much that he came himself 2,000 years ago to offer himself as the price for peace. Jesus was born to willingly die. And there on the cross of Easter to give his life, pay the price of death for sin, so that all who trust in Jesus might be forgiven and go free. And though Jesus died, death was not the end. He rose again and reigns over this world now as God's King, calling rebels back into a right relationship with God through what he has done. You know those shepherds? They model for us what our response to God should be like. Ordinary people. With ordinary lives, seeing, hearing, believing, lasting joy, that comes in Jesus, the Saviour, Christ the Lord, the Prince of Peace. And they take God at his word and go looking for this baby. When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." And this evening, Christmas 2012, the Lord has told us about it too. Maybe this is one of the first times that you've heard the true meaning of Christmas explained from the Bible. Can I say thanks for coming and please do come back? I guess you may have lots of questions, and I'd encourage you to keep coming back and hear the Bible explained some more. It's a great way to get some answers. If you've come with someone who's a Christian, I'm sure they'd be willing to chat with you. You could get hold of one of these Mark's Gospels. There are plenty around the place. And just pick it up. They're free. And carry on reading about this person, Jesus Christ. However, you may want to take a closer look at who Jesus is and what he's done. And in that case, I'd encourage you to fill out a want to find out more card. Again, they are all around the building, and you could give it to me or Johnny or leave it there in the seat. That would be a great way just to keep thinking things through. There are many ways that you could do that, including a 7-week course in a really relaxed and informal way called Christianity Explored, where we just slowly work through Mark's Gospel over lots of cake and coffee. But perhaps you have been persuaded by what you've looked at in the Bible this evening. Perhaps you've heard this many times before. Well, can I encourage you, if you're persuaded by what you've heard, to either share that with someone you've come with, or share it with me. But most of all, can I encourage you to speak to God about that? You could do that right now, where you're sitting. Tell him that you're sorry for how you've lived. That you're thankful for all that Jesus has done in his life and death and resurrection, and that you'll now follow him as king of your life. This Christmas time, enjoy the food, the presents, Downton Abbey. But most of all, I plead, enjoy and know for yourself the words of the angel. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.